Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.
Planning for your next trip? Elevate your travel style with Quince. Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/trip for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Hey, I'm Mitch.
And I'm Greg, and this is Side Note,
a podcast where every episode we tell stories about and then debate a controversial topic.
And then we research and splice in all the science and mind-blowing information throughout so you are entertained while simultaneously learning.
Today, we're talking cities versus small towns. I have a ridiculous and terrifying game my family used to play on us kids out in the good old country. And then Greg tells a story of yet again having an unreal celebrity encounter while being raised in the big city. Then in classic style, we debate which is better, cities or small towns. And given that we both grew up in such different environments, the struggle to win this argument is real. So let us know who wins.
Today's Side Notes will be presented by myself, Greg, Mitch, and Rachel.
Let's go.
Hello.
Hi, Greggy.
It's me.
Ooh. I've been wondering what you did.
Remember
this
when you took singing lessons?
That is so rude. Are you saying that?
I'm so not, I'm lost not on you. I just mean like it's clear that you haven't in a long time. I'm
That's
joking.
So shady. Why do you always shade me so hard?
It's just my natural place of happiness.
But it is.
No, I'm joking. You have a beautiful voice.
Well, I don't. I know that I don't have a beautiful voice.
No, you actually do. And you have a beautiful voice most when you don't know I'm listening. Like sometimes you sing and you can sing really well at home sometimes.
Wow. You've literally never said that to me.
Because that's one of those weird things that like, you know, you don't always say, but I'm saying it now.
Oh my God,
in front of everyone's ears.
Well, okay, but I did take singing lessons and it was so fun because it's an instrument you can tune, but I stopped. There was a time where I would sing, what was the song? What is it? Dear Evan Hansen.
Greg right now is just fully grasping his breasts.
They're called pecs.
Pecs, so hard.
Wait, what is it? The Dear Evan Hansen song was so, wave it.
Okay. Yeah, waving through a window. Let's get a little taste. I learned to slam on the brake.
Okay, oh, no, I was trying to do the part. But apparently if I stuck up my tongue, I could hit the note. So it was weird. I'm Adam Lambert, okay? I'm just this year's Adam Lambert.
As if. One of the best male singers of all time. Adam Lambert, Clay Aiken, two of the best singers of all time.
Oh, my God.
Freddie Mercury.
Pumpkin Spice Latte Basic over here.
I'm kidding. Rude. Okay.
I like the more raspy one.
What, Justin
Neil
Bieber?
Young. Neil Young.
Is famously an awful singer, but has a lot of heart
and soul.
That's
what I mean. I like character. Comment Corner. So this comment is from Anissa Andrews. It's at Anissa Andrews, so we know her first and last name.
Wow. We're gonna literally find you,
Anissa. It's hashtag side note podcast at Will Watch Me PLZ. It feels off when you don't say shiznit in the intro of the episodes now. Crying face.
We have gotten so many comments like that because we actually lost the recording of the original one, or our drive died, so then we don't have that recording anymore.
It was because I picked it up and kicked it across the room. I don't know. I probably stopped doing that.
Yeah, it's not a soccer ball. And then so we had to re-record, and then Greg was like, just like naturally.
I don't know. I was like, is shiznit childish? Is it problematic? Apparently it's not problematic. It actually just means like a really good or really bad.
Yeah. I just looked it up also on Urban Dictionary, and another version came up that's shiznick, like N-I-C-K. And I was like, is that? I've never said it that way.
Wait, that can't be true.
Which also says adjective, terrific, very good, the best stuff.
So shiznit or shiznick, it doesn't really matter. It doesn't really matter. But if someone said shiznick to me, I'd be like, that's wrong. Like, I'd probably correct them.
So will you bring it back?
Yeah, we could re-record it. We'll re-record it for you, Anissa. Anissa Andrews will do anything for you.
Oh, what did we learn this week?
I learned something that is very near and dear to my heart this week, but it's not emotional. It's about sleep. I love sleeping so much. You know that I'm like kind of obsessed over it. And I notice if I get not enough sleep, I'm like, it's just a mess.
You get lots of sleep. It's good.
Yeah, because I know I need to.
And you fall asleep so fast. Sometimes I think you're kidding.
Sometimes I think I'm narcoleptic or like, sometimes that's a sign of being like, what is it?
What?
Like when you fall asleep right away, it's actually a bad sign that you're overexhausted. Like if you, you should take a little while to fall asleep, but I can fall asleep and start dreaming.
It's so weird. Sometimes
like
I'm like, what? What did you, I'm like, wait, what'd you say? And you're like snoring. I'm like, oh, I thought you were fully talking because you were just talking to me.
Anyway,
it is crazy.
There was a study that came out about sleep relation to exams and students. And so they give students an incentive and said, if you sleep 8 hours a night for the 5 days leading up to the exam, we'll give you extra points.
What?
And the students who were able to stick to that regimen, they would test them with like wristbands that were monitoring their sleep.
Well, I was going to say, okay.
If they did it properly, they found that the people who actually slept 8 hours had on average a 4-point higher grade, regardless of what standing they were at before.
And so they got an extra point too for doing it.
Yeah, but not considering that. And the study didn't actually consider
so
their extra points.
So it helped you.
Even if you were a D student or a B student or A student, sleeping 8 hours consistently before your exam was more important than like studying more.
See, that is so weird because I remember I was always down to the wire with exams and I would literally be like, there is a certain amount of like biochemistry information that I need. Like I need to memorize these proteins that before exams, I would like stay up
I would
so
sometimes
late.
Pull all-nighters.
Yeah.
Almost. Yeah.
And now I'm like, oh God, that was probably such a bad idea. But I wouldn't know the, but sometimes I don't know.
There's a line too, where you're like, well, if I go to sleep, I literally don't know anything.
But then it's like, no, plan ahead, you dump. Like,
that's
why are you
part.
Waiting to the last minute? We both were really bad at that.
Yeah.
We are very like down to the
wire.
But
I think a lot of people are procrastinating until it feels desperate.
But if you want to get that sleep, you can't do that.
That's why you think like, well, if I sleep, I actually am not learning. Like I'm at the point where I'm not memorizing. I'm literally starting to learn.
Yeah.
So I get the catch 22, but just know even in your daily health, your daily attitude, it's like associated with aggression, unhappiness, all these things. And 8 hours tends to be a good estimate. Listen to your own body, obviously, but sleep is so important.
Listen to your body.
What'd you learn this week, Greg?
Okay, so what I learned this week was about how the NSF, the National Science Foundation, a bunch of scientists and science institutions wrote in to be like, okay, LGBT people in science are underrepresented. They need to be, like, we need to figure out ways to foster queer and LGBT people to join the science field. So the NSF, the National Science Foundation, has this annual survey where they ask people, you know, all different types of questions in order to gain an understanding of like who's actually working as scientists. Mm-hmm. And they've never asked before about sexual orientation or gender identity. So because a bunch of like institutions wrote in and were like, we need this information starting in 2021, that actual survey will include asking people about their sexual orientation and gender identity in order to have like better understanding of even how many like queer people are there even
That's
in
great.
Science. Yeah.
Why do we have to wait till 2021?
Literally, that was my question because I'm like, don't you just add a question?
I think it's
just
a survey.
But it's bureaucracy, I guess. But one of these things says was that disadvantages and disparities in STEM fields similar to those experienced for other underrepresented groups such as racial and ethnic minorities and women also attribute to people of the LGBT community in science. So I just thought that was kind of interesting. And it's good to know that they're making some sort of change, which is just to literally find out how many there are.
Yeah, sometimes I find it like strangely weird that, okay, fine, if someone's like against us being gay, screw you, I hate you. But like, how can you just be against the collection of data? Sometimes it's like people get mad that there will even be studies on homosexual relationships or queer identities and things like that. It's like, but if you're a scientist, you should just want to know about the
world.
Yeah,
exactly. And it was a bunch of scientists and science institutions who literally had to like complain and write in and be like, we need this information if we're gathering it on everything else. So,
and to just inspire anyone, like, of course you should be looking at the underrepresented groups and thinking, how do we get those intelligent people in those categories to care about science and want or feel comfortable participating in the institutions of science.
Exactly. So 2022 is when the results will come in. So whoop,
God,
whoop.
We're going to be so freaking old. They probably were like, it has to be outside of the Trump era. Otherwise, he's going to do something about it.
Unless he got 8 years. I want to talk about it.
Okay, no.
Story time.
Story time.
Story time.
Story time.
Today's episode is about big cities versus small towns. And if you don't know who's on whose side, I grew up in the big beautiful, diverse, incredible city that is Toronto.
First of all, I thought you were going to say, I forgot the episode was about, and you said the big, and I was so scared what you were going to say after. But also, we'll clearly see the relationship between big cities and problems in life and how small cities are beautiful.
Wait, you're talking about the debate? What
yes,
do you mean
we're
going
to get see? To the, we're gonna get okay. to the debate.
So, I'm going to start with my story about the big city. Ooh, the big city of Toronto. Oh, it's so big. Did you know that Toronto actually wasn't that big for a long time? I grew up in what was called East
York.
Wow,
you can say that about any city, dummy.
No, it became a mega city. Oh, my God. You didn't even know this because you were from where? Like Looneyville or whatever it was called? I don't even know. Boris, Ontario, wherever you're from? Anyways. Toronto used
That's
to be like
offensive to any Borises out there, by the way.
Boris Johnson, who is that again? Someone,
I have no idea.
Politician or something. Okay, so Toronto used to actually be like a bunch of different neighborhoods. So I actually grew up in what was called East York, and so it was separate from Toronto. Toronto was more downtown, but then it became a mega city. Mel Aspin made it. I remember my parents protested. They were so upset. But now it is a huge city of a bunch of different neighborhoods. So I now, where I grew up is considered Toronto. So I'm claiming that I grew up in Toronto, even though I grew up in East York. And I really hope that was interesting to everyone.
We're just making the pod a little more Canadian, which I think is important.
So great things about growing up in a big city. Oh, just getting on the subway with your family. Actually, I have a question for you. Did you ever remember a book that was like about having a teddy bear picnic on the Toronto Island?
No.
Rachel, did you? Oh, God. Okay, so I can't remember if this is a dream or not.
I also am just going to throw this out there. I did not use transit till I was probably 19 or
20. I remember the first. Wasn't I with you when
in
you went
university,
on the? Yeah. That was really fun. I remember feeling really cool. I was like, this is a subway.
No, I mean, even in Guelph, I hadn't used a bus other than a school bus.
Yeah, you even said you like never went downtown in Guelph. That
really
was so weird.
Okay, keep going, sorry.
Anyways, I swear to God, there's a book literally about Toronto transit that I love that was like about taking your teddy bear on the subway to go like downtown to the island to have teddy bear, but they dropped the teddy bear into the subway tracks. And
oh,
I think it's supposed
so
to
scary.
Teach kids to like not
Be
jump
careful.
In front of the subway. But I also want people to like at me if whether or not this is made up or not. Because I can't remember, but I can picture the images. Anyways, love the subway. Love the cultural institutions of the art gallery. It made me so interested in contemporary art at a young age. I remember my parents took me to a gallery and I saw LSD for the first time like in a video.
What?
And I was like, this
what does
is
that
cool.
mean?
Like I just remember like when my parents would take me to the art gallery, I would see like naked people and like drug use. But because it was the art gallery, they'd be like, this is okay.
Wow.
You know what I mean?
It's
even though you're
commentary.
11. And I'd be like, huh, interesting. LSD. True. But one of the really important things in Toronto is TIFF. What's TIFF? It's not a fight that you get in with your friend. What's TIFF, Mitch?
Toronto International Film Festival.
Yeah, it's a big deal. Hollywood comes to Toronto. Hollywood comes north for a week. And the celebs are out. And we know where they're eating. And Torontonians freak out. And they
really?
All get asked, how do you like Toronto? And they go, we love Toronto. And we all go, oh my God, they love Toronto. We're mm-hmm. so excited. So, first time I ever, this is a really crazy story. The first time I ever went to the Toronto International Film Festival, I went with my friend Daniel Petrie, whose dad had two tickets to go see a movie starring Anthony Hopkins and Nicole Kidman called The Human Stain.
Great actors.
Yeah, great actors. Don't think the movie did that well. You know what I mean? Like, looking back, it's like, what's The Human Stain? That's actually a really weird title for a movie. Anyways, so they had two tickets, and they also had these like free passes that were like laminated that just said like free pass. And on the back, there were like the sponsors. And all it really meant was that if you lined up in the rush line and you got to the front, you wouldn't have to pay for a ticket. You would just get in for free. They were meaningless, pretty much, these passes that the two adults with the tickets were like, we're going to go in. You guys try these. If not, we'll be out in 2 hours. Okay. Essentially, we were just like going to hang around, watch the red carpet, hustle right. and bustle. And I was like, all right, like, whatever. And so I took their passes. They went inside, and I was kind of like, damn.
Did I miss who, like, are these your parents? Who are the adults?
My friend's dad
okay,
and his
like,
friend,
okay.
who kind of like, when we went to pick him up, he had like a big house and he like seemed important. So this helps with my narrative for what's about to happen.
Okay.
So I'm sitting there with my like, again, lack of prefrontal cortex. I'm in about grade 8 or 9. I am the type of kid who was like definitely like the loud, like class clownish type.
Big surprise.
And I'm also getting excited by the bright lights and the red carpet. Like I haven't seen this and I love pop culture. I'm a gay kid. Like it's not like I'm not into Nicole Kidman. Like Moulin Rouge is like a very like important thing in my life at the time. And I'm just like, this is wild. Like, come with me, Daniel. I don't even know how I got the idea to do this, but I did. So I went to like the side. I think it was just me as a young person seeing the red carpet and being like, that's it. You know what I mean? Like on TV, you think it's going to be a bigger deal, but it's just like right over there. And everyone's just following the rules. But I'm like, let's break the rules. So I go up to a person who is like holding a clipboard and headphones. And I'm like, I can't get in. I literally just start being like, excuse me, I am not allowed into this movie because I'm not old enough. And they're like, what? And then because the movie hadn't been rated, even if we were to have gotten in, they would have been like, you're too young because you had to be over 19 because they actually hadn't decided the rating. And I think there was some inappropriate things that like happened. I'm like, my dad is the head of Visa and he is in there right now. You can look on this pass. I show the pass that on the back of it has a little Visa symbol. And I'm like, my dad is in there right now. I am alone. I am young and I'm not being allowed in there. You need to figure this out. And so she starts panicking this like, and I realize now that I'm older, like she probably was just like a random
like
volunteer
or something or a volunteer.
And this like child is like yelling at me. She's like, oh my God. Okay. 1 second. I need to talk to someone who like matters or whatever. So she disappears for a bit. And I'm just like, my friend is literally like, what are you, like, he's mortified, but also, like, kind of a quieter person that he's just letting me do this. She comes back. She's like, I'm so sorry. Like, I can't let you in. I was like, what do you mean you can't let me in? Like, I'm alone. Like, my dad's in there. He's freaking out. There's no cell phones at this time, so they don't really, like, there's no, like, it's not, like,
to,
text
like,
him or whatever. They were, like,
something.
A little bit concerned, and she was like, honestly, like, I don't know what to do. Like, she's like, I could let you, like, back in, like, behind the red carpet, and you could, like, come and, like, see the actors and things like that, and we could, like, entertain you for a bit. And
your
I was like,
little ears are perking.
I literally
right
was
up.
Like, oh, that's sounds great. Like, I was like, that is fully okay. I will, I'm sure my dad will be okay with that. So she like leads me in.
Is that what you were expecting or you just
no
did
I don't
get into
I honestly
video?
Don't know what I was expecting. I think I was like bored, knew I had 2 hours to kill. I was like, let's stir some shit up. Like,
oh,
I don't
my
know
god.
So they let me in behind the red carpet and I turn and like Nicole Kidman, who like I haven't really seen a celebrity, like the lights are on, is standing right in front of me, like doing an interview to someone, and I just lose my cool. I'm like, Nicole! Nicole! And like immediately I can just see everyone and all the cameras and things like turn towards me. I'm like, Nicole! I would just have to say I'm hot. That's what I said to Paris Hilton. Yeah. That's another story. I was like, Nicole, they won't let me into your movie. Like, you should have made it more appropriate for kids. And like I was like harassing her, and she was like, oh, like I'll remember her. She was like, oh. And I was like, I love you. And she was like, you're so sweet. You're so sweet. And then she was like, Toronto boys are so sweet. Like, that's what she said.
Oh, my God.
And then the guy, like, said something weird thing. And then the girl who had just let me in, like, grabbed me and was like, I think in that moment realized I was, like fully a troll.
Yeah.
And, like, pulled me off and was just like, leave. And I just, like, was on such a high. I just, like, ran down the streets of Toronto so happy. And I do remember, like, before I left, this guy grabbed me and he was like, you're going to be on TV in Holland. That's what he said.
Oh,
and to this
God.
Day, I've like every once a year I go on YouTube and I'm like, random white kid
Holland Network
yells at Nicole Kidman, Holland.
Oh my gosh, you have a VPN now. You should switch to like
Holland and
in
find
the
it. Honestly, if anyone's out there and can find this, that would make
Holland
me
Holland is the Netherlands, right?
Yeah.
Okay, no. I got really scared.
And then to end the story, which was like a big like bit of a roller coaster for me, was that I was in such a good mood because I just like yelled at Nicole Kidman. She looked me in the eye, said I was cute, or like she said she loved Toronto boys, or like it was enough for me.
Yeah.
And I was so happy. And I like there was this like group of like bachelorette girls who were like on the streets of King Street, like doing a full bachelorette. And I was like, oh my God, they're gonna love this. And I was just like, ladies, oh my God, guess what? Like I just met Nicole Kidman. And they literally like the leader was like, wow, cool, good for you, you freak. And they
oh,
all kind of like
so
they all kind of like laughed. And like walked away, and I immediately was like, like the world came crashing down. But
you
then
were like 11.
I was
and they
like
were
11.
Just like yelling at you. Like,
that's what I was just thinking. Like I could have been lost. I could have been anything. But it really was a slap in the face of like I'm the coolest person ever
yeah.
to the most uncool person.
I think
person
it goes
ever.
To show like by age 11, you just aren't cute anymore. You know what
exactly.
I mean?
Exactly. It was like a weird prepubescent
like
gay
seven.
Boy screaming at, and it was their bachelorette, and they were drunk, and they were probably just like literally like, "What do you want from us?"
But that's like a really mean way to behave to someone. Like, wow, cool.
Like, no, it was like
most
it was shocking. And I think my friend who actually just sat beside me the whole time observing was like, "What the fuck is wrong with you?" In so many ways. Anyways, Nicole. Wow. If you're out there, and if for whatever reason, I don't know if I'll ever tell her.
If
that
she's
story.
Listening.
If I ever meet Nicole Kidman.
When you're listening to this, Nicole, just
hey,
know.
Nicole. Hey, Keith. Hey, kids.
No, but
yeah.
Keith wasn't in the picture here.
No, but Keith might listen to Side Note. Who knows?
Maybe.
Just let her know.
Maybe, like, cute.
Just let her know that I was that little kid. And I would love to know if she remembered that, but I'm sure she doesn't.
One day. I have a feeling you're gonna tell her to her face this story. It's going to happen. I don't know how. I don't know where. I don't know when.
The Toronto International Film Festival, aka TIFF, has grown to be one of the most respected film festivals across the globe. It has really added to Toronto's reputation as a cultural hub, contributing to the overall success of the city. This got us thinking, why do some cities succeed? Is it events like TIFF, a really good sports team, amazing food, or does it have more to do with structure? To answer this question, let's talk about Jane Jacobs. Jacobs, an American-Canadian author and activist who lived in both New York City and Toronto, wrote The Death and Life of Great American Cities in 1961. She identified that the death of a city comes by the elimination of pedestrian activity, for example, through highway construction or a large-scale development project. That life was created by the presence of pedestrians at all times of day. And to create pedestrian activity, she outlined four conditions that make for vibrant cities that are dynamic, safe, and humane. Number one, mixed-use neighborhoods with residential, commercial, and industrial buildings all mixed in together. Number two, small blocks that promote walking. Three, a mix of old and new buildings that cater to high and low rent tenants. And number four, sufficient density to create a critical vital mass. If cities miss any one of these elements, a neighborhood could fail. Now, Jacobs existed in a very male-dominated field of urban planning, in a very male-dominated era, and she didn't have a college degree or formal training, so she was often criticized by her peers. And to be fair to her peers, these ideas Jane had were not empirically tested. Until recently, the city of Seoul in Korea collected pedestrian activity through surveys at a huge scale, with an effort spanning over a decade. The researchers found that the conditions did hold up. It's true that these four things really make or break a city. And these results have been replicated in a study of six Italian cities, but this time done much more quickly using mobile phone data. Ultimately, if you want to know how a city is doing, take a look and see how many people are oot and a boot on the street.
All right. I grew up in a very small town, a much different upbringing than you.
How small?
Like, I just looked it up. There is no official number because it's part of a township. So
what?
It's probably, in my estimation, a few hundred people.
Oh, my God.
But the township is like of a bunch of like smaller little towns together is like 10,000 or something like that across like this whole area.
Name? What's it called?
It's called Eden Mills.
Okay. What's its claim to fame?
Nothing. There's like a...
You're his claim to fame.
Honey, yes. I think there's like a famous lake and a windmill or something like that. But like not famous, just to like the people there. Very different experience than you. I had never taken a city bus. I have a lot of experiences with the school bus. I think we've talked about that on this podcast.
Oh,
like,
you didn't ever take
school buses.
That's so weird.
My bus took over an hour to get to school because we were so far out of the city and had to pick up like all the kids who like lived on in the country on farms and stuff
so
like that.
So how early would you get up to get to school?
I honestly don't remember, but probably was leaving at like 6 or something like that from my house. Like,
whoa,
it was very early. I remember like living and because our backyard was so huge and so was our front yard. Like, we had a really big property. It wasn't a farm, but it was huge. And like one time there was like a pack of coyotes like by our house, and then our parents had to yell and we all had to come in and we were like so scared.
What did your parents do? Like, did they commute to work?
Yes. My dad was a pilot, and so I don't
know.
Whoa,
yeah. He flew. My dad
like,
flies.
But a commercial pilot, like an instructor.
Okay.
And so would teach people how to fly. Anyway, so I don't know why we lived there. Maybe it was also affordable because small towns, as we'll see in the debate, are affordable. But yeah, basically, like, I started thinking about, okay, this story that happened many, many times when we were little, and I was like, why did my parents do this? Was it because we lived in a small town and we were all just bored and there was nothing to do? Because I only had like two friends who were around my age lived there.
And would you could run to their house? Are our houses close
one
to
was,
each other?
One was close and one maybe was like a 15-minute walk through like a kind of forest.
A field,
literally a field. It was still a town though, so there was like a little parquet and there was like one little shop.
And you didn't
like
have
that.
Like a farm or anything. What was your property like?
It was just like a normal house, but like a big property, like a big backyard and trees. And then the houses, we had like a street of maybe like 15 houses that were very like spread out, but it was still like a street. You know
where would
I mean?
Where would you grocery shop?
I have no idea. Nowhere in town.
Food just appeared.
They
for
probably
you?
Have to drive to the nearest like small city as opposed to town.
What is the nearest small city?
I think Guelph.
Oh,
we ended up moving to
where
Guelph
you end
after.
Up moving.
Yeah.
So it's like a small town near Guelph.
Correct.
Ontario.
Yes.
Okay.
Don't stalk me and my family.
You'll be fine.
Basically, like, what would happen is, like, when we were very young, like, it would usually happen at nighttime. So my mom would be, like, reading us a bedtime story.
Okay.
And then we used to have, I don't know if you have these in the city, but we were really high tech in the small town. We would have, like, these speakers in our house that you could, like, what? Push a button and talk, and it would, like, go through the house. So you could, like,
Wait,
communicate with people.
What? You had an intercom?
Yes. Yeah.
Throughout, in your home?
In every bedroom. Like, so.
How big was your house?
Not that big. I don't know why we had these.
Like, how many bedrooms?
Like, three. Three bedrooms and then the basement bedroom
so
as well.
So physically you could have been like, Mom, but instead you'd be like, Mom.
I guess, or it was more like if Mom's in the kitchen and she's like, time for dinner.
Wow, Mom's
like,
in the kitchen. Wow. Why don't you just make this a little bit more of a sexist scenario?
Well, I grew up in a patriarchal structure.
So oh, wow. Hashtag small town. I'm just kidding.
Yeah, no, that's true. Okay. I'm just telling my truth. Let me speak.
Okay,
let me live.
Okay. I'm sorry. You would intercom your mom?
Yes. Anyway, that's not important. So we'd be like reading a bedtime story, like whether this, like, mom,
through the intercom?
No, like Mom's like sitting down with us in the bedroom. I have, like, at this time, my youngest brother's not born. It's just me, my older sister, my older brother.
Okay.
All of a sudden, I'm here. And we'd
what?
Be like, oh my gosh. And my mom would be like, oh no, the evil masked man is here. And then we'd all start like screaming and be like, what's happening? And we'd like run and look out the window, and there'd be like a man in a trench coat with this like scary rimmed
what?
Hat outside. And then we'd be like, oh my God, he's coming. And then we'd hear bang, 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 bang on the outside door. And like, I think we were supposed to, like, my older siblings might have been old enough to know that this was like all planned, but I was like, actually thought it was
you were the
man.
Young one who was life
yeah,
was being ruined
like,
by
terrified
this.
and then like he so obviously it's my dad
imagine like, it wasn't it was just like oh it's Eden Mills famous as a serial
like,
killer
we have to close the door and then we get the intercom again and he'd be like I'm coming up the stairs now and we'd all be like hide under the bed this kind of stuff and then he
wait
like,
you actually thought you were about to get murdered
yes,
like your whole family was gonna get murdered
deep down I like kind of knew it was a game or if I was also just like kind of terrified and then he would like come to the bedroom door bang shake bang
oh
bang bang
my
bang bang
God.
And then suddenly it would stop and then like my mom would be like okay let's go check open the door and then my dad would be like what's going on up here, you guys? Is everything okay? And we'd be like, the evil masked man was here. And he'd be like, no, what? I was downstairs. I didn't see anyone.
Oh.
And they would play this game with us, like, all the time. And I'm like, is it just because we were, like, bored?
Or are your parents jokes like, what? Like, also, that is so, like, so you took it. Like, you had a result. If my parents did that to me and my sister, we would cry and it would not be funny. Like, so you didn't, like, have a full meltdown.
No. That's what I mean. I think deep down we knew we were safe.
This makes so much sense because you always want to mess
yes,
with everyone.
I realize it has impacted my entire life because I love scaring people. And I think because I wasn't traumatized, it was like a fun thing that we did. It never went to the point where we actually like, we never saw him come into our room. We never like had to actually interact with him.
So this evil, like, scary man was just like, oh, like, have you talked to your parents yet? Like, have you been like, it was you, right, Dad?
Imagine it wasn't. They're actually like, no, we don't know what. It was a really weird
time. Or
they're
still toying with you? But, like, they refuse to admit it was them.
But yeah, I just, like, it's so weird. I don't know.
I love that's what people do in small cities, though. You know, you got to figure out ways to have fun.
Truly, it is a big part of, like, being, like, your family is your friends. Like, I had a couple friends nearby, but we as a family would hang out in our house
all
the time.
That's so simple. But it's, I'm glad it worked for you. I was actually at an art gallery.
Yeah, exactly. Like, by yourself.
Yeah, reading
a
decaf cappuccino, reading a New Yorker, having a decaf cappuccino, and just thinking about
institutions. It's so sad that you didn't have, like, a nice bond.
A lot can happen in the next 3 years. Like, a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans are available for these changing times. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer budget-friendly, flexible coverage for people who are in between jobs or missed open enrollment. The plans last nearly 3 years in some states, with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. So for whatever tomorrow brings, UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans may be for you. Learn more at uh1.com.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Spending time with your family.
Oh, no, I did. My parents were there, okay. Actually. We were talking about what we just read. We were talking about the war.
This is the debate section. Leave it. This is the end of my story. Small cities, small towns. We like to scare each other.
Mitch and his family's tradition is a great example of a characteristic unique to small towns and rural communities, the tendency to create and develop folklore. Regardless of whether it's Bigfoot or Paul Bunyan, or in this case, the evil masked man, there's a reason why a majority of the tales surrounding these characters originate in small towns. Because they belong to smaller and more remote populations, small town residents have the opportunity to become more familiar with each other. In fact, a 2018 Pew Research report showed that folks who live in rural settings are much more likely to know most, if not all, of their neighbors. This can pave the way for more of a shared identity within these communities, which, in turn, can be celebrated, described, and expressed via the development of folklore. Now, the expression of folklore can take on many forms, including oral traditions such as tales, proverbs, and urban legends, as well as customs such as rituals, games, and ceremonies. These different forms of tradition are known as folklore artifacts, and again, the evil masked man game that Mitch and his family played is a great example of this. Similarly, the same conditions that can encourage the development of folklore can also give rise to other things. There's a reason why television shows like True Blood, Stranger Things, and Castle Rock take place in small towns. While rural folklore often serves as inspiration for these tales, it is in part the remoteness of these locales that leaves viewers with an unsettling sense of isolation and creepiness. Surrounded by dark fields and forests, miles away from your closest neighbor who is, for example, going to save you from the masked man.
After the break, we will be coming back with our debate on which is better, living in a city or living in a town.
Howdy, howdy, y'all. With that inflection, you might think we're American, but we are in fact Canadian. And Canada's iTunes said that Side Note Podcast was one of the top 10 podcasts of the year. This blew us away. We are so thankful for your support of this pod. It's only been out for about 6 months, and we are overjoyed with the success, with your engagement with it, with the fact that you guys are happy to be learning and having fun with us. All of our intentions are being met. Another thing we learned is that apparently clicking download on the podcast is what helps the algorithm. Apparently, we hear mixed things all the time. But one thing you can do to help us out is just make sure every week when you get our little pod showing up and you're like, ooh, here we go, click download, because apparently it helps. And yeah, we just want to say thank you from our left and right ventricles of our hearts, pretty much the bottom of our hearts. Okay, wow. Let's get back to the show.
You ready?
You ready? That was from Justin Timberlake's infamous album where he says, "You ready?"
Yes. I am ready. Shall I go first? Because I have a lot. I don't know if 2 minutes is enough this time around.
Really? About the importance of farming corn or something? Okay.
I didn't even need to go there, but thanks for the extra point, because the agricultural industry is very important. You'd be starving without it, wouldn't you? And I know you love food, but you count me in. Let me know when I'm good to go.
On your mark. Get set. Go.
Debate time.
Okay. Small cities and towns are the way to go. And I'm just going to list a bunch of reasons why being in a city is the wrong choice. Because number one, noise. I know Greg loves to listen to loud headphones, loud, loud, loud. He's losing his hearing. But 0.3% of an increase in loudness is linked to higher blood sugar levels. And cities are much, much louder than towns. So noise is literally bad for your health. Number two, and you know this is true, the more green you have, the better. When humans spend even a few minutes on a crowded city street, their brain is less able to retain information or control impulses. And residents of apartments with no views or that have view concrete or asphalt report higher levels of aggression and violence than people who live when they can see trees. And that's not surprising then that crime rates are way higher in cities. In fact, they're one third higher than they are in small towns. There's obviously air pollution. Toronto, before I moved here, was a huge problem. It just was cloudy all the time. And less pollution is linked to lower asthma rates, lung cancer and heart disease, and an increase in allergies. Air pollution on average takes off 6 months of somebody's life in a normal city like Toronto. There's less psychological problems, lower amounts of schizophrenia, which is exacerbated by urban living environments. You get better sleep because there's more light in the city. You get worse sleep in the city. It messes up your circadian rhythms, and social jet lag of switching between weekdays and weekend schedules affects you. Better neighbors. In big cities, people are more likely to exhibit the bystander effect, in which they will not help other people. And the more people that aren't helping, the less likely you are to help. Whereas small cities, everyone knows everyone. The room is literally shaking because there's construction next door. Small towns and cities are more economical. The average urban resident pays 6% more for all things like groceries, utilities, transportation, healthcare. And finally, people are just happier. Studies in Canada have found that people in cities are much less happy than people in small towns.
Wow. Okay. First of all, I want to say, I know you think that my hearing is going, but Bose is making really cool hearing aids right now that are just going to slip right in a couple of years. My cochlea will be fine.
I think that's one of the things that they're like, once it's gone, it's gone. But no, if you retain it.
Bose is up to something. Google really? It. Bose is up to something. And if they're not, please, please God help me. Because Mitch is always like, can you hear that? And I'm like, no.
Yeah, truly, I'll be yelling for him and he can't.
Truly's your new thing, eh?
Well, I was going to say truly, this whole room is shaking, and I'm like...
Yeah, but have you noticed that you say truly all the time now?
I stole it from...
From what?
From Matt from Las Culturistas. I feel like he always says it and I picked it up like, yeah, I need credit where credit's due. Go listen to Las Culturistas.
Wow, that's so funny, because I've noticed in the last week, I was like, truly, truly, and I'm like, yeah, truly.
Maybe somebody else says it, but I think it's him.
Okay, cool. Credit where credit's due.
Okay, Greg, are you ready to debate... The position of cities being better than towns.
You're right. The whole building is shaking from a condo being made.
Can you feel it in the podcast?
It's kind of hard for me right now to think about why this would be a good thing. I'm like, are we all gonna die?
Is there an earthquake? Okay. All right, Greg, your time starts in 3, 2, 1.
Okay, I know you brought up a lot about forests and forest bathing, but parks are, in fact, good enough, and the parks that we have here in Toronto... Where are you going? You're distracting me. He's literally leaving. Parks are good enough for us to actually have very similar stress-relieving symptoms or effects, you know what I mean? So it doesn't necessarily have to be forests. Also, parks are much more accessible for all different types of people rather than the rocky terrain that you might have in your backyard, okay? Also, research from the UK found out that those who lived on the coast were significantly more fit and healthy than those who lived inland, and most cities are on the coast or within 150 kilometers of water. Also, people in the cities walk a lot. I think this one is extremely important. I walk all the time. People in the cities are more active. People in small towns, they drive a lot more. 66% of vehicle deaths happen on rural roads. So it's actually extremely dangerous because you're driving everywhere. Also, I've been reading recent studies about literally like the physiological issues with driving. The fact that you're in like this vessel that takes you away from the environment is really bad for the way that you see and relate to the world around you. But actually walking is so important. Being around people, talking to people, it's a phenomenon of the city, and it's not only is it healthy, but it's good for your mind. Also, people in the city actually live longer. A study by the American Journal of Preventive Medicine found that people in cities on average live 2 years longer than those in small towns and rural settings. And this might have to do with the fact that when you are older, it's really important to live in cities because you need access to public transit, to getting around, to like hospitals.
30 seconds.
These are the important things that you're going to need later in life. So you need to plan ahead and live in a city so that you are comfortable there. Also, with the whole driving thing, not to mention how many hours are spent traveling, how many gallons of fuel that you're using when you are driving that you won't be using when you're using public transit in big cities, okay? Also, a recent study found that the risk of injury or death is more than 20% higher in rural areas, and that teenagers are a lot more likely to do drugs there and abuse prescription drugs.
Okay. Wow. She snapped back.
What do you mean? I got a little up an animal.
I just didn't expect you to have anything worth saying, to be honest.
Well, it's interesting because there is, because I really feel like walking in public transit is so healthy. Like, can't you not, like, driving everywhere is
so
bad. People
can walk in smaller
towns. No, they can't. How would you have gotten groceries?
Yeah, but that's one way. Like, you're telling me transit is so much different than taking a car.
Yes.
That it's so much better for your why?
Yes.
Why?
Because not only are you around people and you're actually like bathing in different types of people, as I just said, which is important, and being around an environment of actually seeing all these different types of people in their lives, that's really important for humans.
Okay, you're talking about Toronto,
but
not using every city is diverse, so you're not always bathing in different types of people.
Yes, you are. It doesn't even matter about their diversity. They're still seeing different types
just
of
different
people.
Okay, I can agree
and
with that.
Also, it is way better for the environment. Driving is so bad for the environment.
I know it's better for the environment. That's not what we said.
Oh, I thought that's what you were trying to
do. No, I was comparing, like, you were like, it's so bad to be driving for your mental health.
And it is really bad. It's really interesting. There's all these studies where they actually, like, people get road rage. When you're in a car, you don't empathize with your environment or with people because you're in this vessel that you're controlling. And it's really interesting because
people complain about transit literally every 2 seconds.
I know, but
this is like the most common thing I hear in the city is how bad the transit is.
But that's anecdotal. It's true, though. Like, obviously, everyone complains probably about traffic when they're driving, too. Mm-hmm. Humans complain, but I'm talking about what actually feels better. Public transit, walking, biking, all of these things are so healthy, and that's what you do in the city. When you're in small towns, you rely on driving, and I really think that that is detrimental in a lot of ways.
Yeah. I mean, you can move around that, though, and it depends on the size of your city. Like, where I grew up, where there was hundreds, of course we were driving. But that doesn't mean we can't go for walks. That doesn't mean we aren't literally walking around where we live. It just means when we go to get groceries, we have to drive. So I think that's like, I'm not saying it's untrue. I'm just saying it's characterizing something in a way that may not necessarily be accurate.
Okay, well, Ace, a study from the University of Helsinki found that families that live in cities have higher intelligence. And that
is... Of course,
is,
because people...
You think that's true?
Yes, okay. Because big cities host universities, and so it pulls intelligence. That's what literally happens in big cities.
I personally think that that's an amazing thing. I like to be surrounded by the intellectual fields. I like to be surrounded by people that challenge me mentally, and I don't really know how you're going to argue that. You'd rather be in a smaller town and be less smart.
Because I think that people who grow up, at least in smaller towns, value family more, to be honest. I think so.
And you're the one that doesn't want kids. Huh.
Hmm. Yeah, but that's a different desire. I value my family. I'm not saying you don't value your family. I'm not going to go there. But I'm saying...
Imagine
the way,
you were like, I value my family.
So something I've noticed is like people who grow up in smaller towns, your family is everything in a way. Like especially when I grew up in a really small town, like we didn't have a lot of friends, which obviously in its own right is not a good thing. Like having social outlets for your parents and for the
kids. Yeah, we just talked
important.
About that yesterday for stress. Friends.
Of course.
Friend to be... But
I do think that there becomes a level. Like, one thing I find a little sad about just Western culture in general compared to some other, like, you know, Eastern Asian cultures and stuff like that is that the family unit has become less important. It's such a, we've talked about this on the podcast before, where it's like such a me culture of like going and getting what I want and becoming successful. I feel like that's bred in the city lifestyle. And we see across the world in like places like Tokyo, places like New York, where people work themselves to death because that's all that has become important. And I think that kind of pushes aside this notion of like, you can get a lot of satisfaction and happiness through family. It can be through relationships with friends as well. It doesn't just have to be your family. But I think like endemic to small towns is spending time with
and
learning.
But then you're assuming that you live in a small town with your family. Like this is because a lot of people move to small towns to start their family. They're away from their family. You know what I mean? Like you're talking right now about your parents and your siblings who all live all over the place now and they're eventually going to start their family. But you're talking about the family unit you choose to make with someone in a small town.
Yeah, or that you have. Like it doesn't a lot of people who grow up in small cities end up staying in small cities. So you're still near like your parents or your grandparents.
Well,
like,
statistically, it's the in the US, for example, the UN's expecting that to plummet and that people are moving more than ever
it's
to
inevitable.
Big cities.
I agree. That might be a fact. That doesn't mean that it's good.
In 1960, twice as many people worldwide lived in rural versus urban settings. But fast forward to today, and over half of the planet's population now lives in urban areas or cities. And this trend is expected to continue. It's estimated that by the year 2050, almost 70% of the world will live in cities. So what's driving this drastic migration? For one, urbanization has been shown to be linked to economic growth. That is, populations tend to urbanize as they get richer. According to a recent Pew Research study, almost a third of rural areas in the United States have what is known as concentrated poverty, where at least a fifth of the population is poor, as opposed to cities, which show 19%. In addition, rural residents are much more likely than their urban counterparts to say that job availability is a major problem where they live. The sectors of employment that dominate rural areas, like farming, logging, and mining, are more and more relying on automation, which is unfortunately increasing the scarcity of jobs. When it comes to prime-age workers, that's adults between the ages of 25 and 54, the level of employment has increased by 12% in cities since the year 2000, but it's decreased by 11% in rural areas during that exact same period. And this has had steep consequences on demographics, as rural areas continue to skew older. 18% of rural residents are 65 and older versus 13% in cities. When you compare the two, small towns lack not only economic but academic opportunity as well. In a form of brain drain, rural areas are being robbed of intellectual capital in the form of high school graduates seeking a higher education. So not only are rural and small town populations shrinking, but they're getting older as well. Many elderly folks rely on home equity as their savings. However, a decreasing population deflates property value, and many of these older folks find themselves unable to sell their homes, effectively trapping them where they are. Not only that, but as rural populations shrink, governments in these areas begin to lose their tax base. This, in turn, can lead to budget cuts, and local services may begin to suffer, whether it's infrastructure, schools, law enforcement, or community centers. These cutbacks then further drive people into cities, creating a vicious cycle, one where elderly populations end up having to settle for subpar services, including healthcare. And this is all having a dramatic effect on the political landscape. As the rural-urban divide continues to grow, folks in small-town communities feel more and more estranged and isolated, thus adding to the polarization in socio-political views. I obviously live in Toronto.
I was going to say, where'd you buy your house?
Like, I live here in the city. I love the city. But
you,
definitely
you would actually rather raise
levels,
your kids?
I don't know, okay? I'm playing the role of the small town guy debate. And I grew up
and you
with
grew
it,
up
and
there.
So I feel touched by it, and I think you... I've had both experiences, but
I know
don't think
I couldn't live in a small town.
I think that's true of most big city people. They can't go the other way. But I think a lot of small city people can come to the city and thrive and survive. I just don't know. I don't know what that means, but I've noticed that, like, amongst the friends that I've made in the city who grew up here, I actually don't think they can
handle
the solitude.
See, what that makes me think is that really living in a city is better. That when you come from something else and you move to this big city and you see the experience, you stay. It's like, you know what I mean? You can do both because you've had both, but I can't, I'm feeling like I can't go the other way because I'm like, I actually have so much positive benefits of living in the city. I wouldn't want to give up if I went to a small
town. Fair,
but
that can lead, like, I kind of briefly passed on the psychological disorders, but, like, there's way lower levels of anxiety and mood disorders. So, like, city folks have 21%
based on, like,
increase,
population?
Yeah, based on
the study,
city size, yeah.
But the study wasn't just, like, there's obviously more people with mood disorders in cities because there's more people.
No, it's based on the rate of increase. It's an increase of 21% anxiety and 39% increase of mood disorders generally. In the same way that it was mentioning, like, it's not that because these people are moving to the city, it's like there's a higher rate of schizophrenia in the city, and they think that cities actually, like, really stimulate a higher rate of symptoms in these people. So I think, like, yeah, the city's great. It offers so many opportunities. There's so much to do. But that can be a mental mind trick as well. Like, it's the original version of social media where, like, now we live on the internet and that, like, adds another level of stress because you're always seeing, there's always something to be looking at. There's always something to be watching and to be sharing. I feel like a city, a big city, is sort of like a micro representation of what the internet does where there's always somewhere to be and you have to be doing your best and you're competing with so many people as opposed to just saying, like, I kind of am happy with what I have. I have the amount of money I need, and I'm okay to just, like, live in this environment and be a little closer with friends. And I know, I think that your family, not that they're unique in this, I think lots of people in Toronto have great communities, but
many people don't. A lot of friends I know have no idea who their neighbors are. We're lucky. We live in an honest street where our neighbors are fairly connected. But I think
on your family isn't necessarily super close to their neighbors.
Because we moved many times. But in our previous neighborhood, we knew all our neighbors on our street, especially because the kids were growing up there. Yeah. So it's a little easier. And we moved when I was going into university.
And that is about when you're living in a city, there's so many diverse ways to live in a city. Some that foster a lot of neighborhoods, some that
But if you think of the downtown hustle bustle life, those people are not probably connecting in the same way. In that sort of in a small town, you know everyone. If it's small enough,
that literally creeps me out. I would hate, whenever people say that as a good thing, that to me always endemically is a negative thing. To think about what I do that day is being watched by other people.
It's not being watched.
But that's
it's
a stereotype that people do say. It's you know what I mean? When you're
creepy.
In a small town, everyone knows your business.
The gossip.
Which could be a good thing you're saying, but also to me, I'm that would stress me out a lot. I love the idea of being anonymity in what I'm doing that day and no one being oh, it's like walking down the street.
So would you ever, if we start a family,
no,
you could never consider.
No.
Would you ever, as an individual, say as a couple, me and you, before having family, would you ever entertain?
Nope.
And what's the threshold? It just has to be Toronto.
I don't know. Okay, so.
Because here's the line. And this is why it only goes one way. People from New York don't want to live in Toronto because it's too small. It's a small city.
Yeah.
It's lame. There's not enough going on. It's a boring city. But to us, it's the best thing we have, right? Or
I don't know if that's necessarily true. I think New York is a huge, there's probably some people who think that, but I think it's also such an exhausting big city. Many people might come to Toronto and be I love this perfect blend of both.
Interesting how now you're fighting for a small town.
I'm not fighting for a small town. I'm fighting for a city that's really well designed.
Yeah, but do you know what I'm saying? It's all perspective.
Okay.
Because you just shifted perspectives and started fighting for why getting away from an exhausting place
could be good. What, 9 million size city to a city of 4 million?
Yeah, but what you just said is New York is so exhausting. It can be really
nice. I don't think it's exhausting.
Smaller.
I love New York. I would love to live in New York. I'm saying
so
I
why would
fear
anyone,
that.
Why would anyone from New York want to come to Toronto then?
Because
or from London or from Tokyo.
Yeah, you're right. It would be the same defense of a small town. But I'm not. I do think that those are all cities, though. I think it's still moving from a city to a city. And I think right. I personally do not think I could be happy in a small town.
Okay, we just need a side note. What is the difference between a city and a town?
Yeah, because, what's the actual number?
Because we went to university in a city, but to me, I'm would you live in Guelph?
What the heck is the difference between a city and a town? And how would you define a place like Guelph, where Greg, Mitch, and I went to university? Go Gryffindor! We actually weren't called Gryffindor. We were the Guelph Griffins, but wouldn't have that been cool? This is actually a lot harder than I would have expected. Different regions of the world have different qualifiers of what makes a settlement. And some places that define themselves as towns have more people living in them than the neighboring city. It's kind of a mess. But I did find one Greek city planner, Constantino Apollostis Doxiadis, break down a settlement hierarchy that isn't perfect, but according to him, a town is a population of 1,000 to 20,000 people. Smaller than that are isolated dwellings where there's 1 to 5 buildings or families. It would have negligible services, if any. Next is a hamlet with a population of less than 100 people, and then there is a village. The population of a village really varies, but the average population can range from hundreds to thousands. I do, however, know that it takes a village to raise Mitch Moffitt. Okay. And though Eden Mills, where Mitch grew up, is part of a township of tens of thousands, on its own, there are only a couple hundred people. So if a town is less than 20,000, a large town is 20,000 to 100,000. Next is a city. According to him, a city is anywhere between 100,000 and 300,000 people. By this qualifier, Guelph would be a city. A large city is over 300,000 people, but less than a million. And a metropolis is anywhere between 1 and 3 million, so the city of Toronto would fall here. Next step is conurbation. I have never heard this term before, but it is a qualifier for a group of large cities and their surrounding suburbs, consisting of 3 to 10 million people, So examples of that would be like the Greater Boston Area or the San Francisco Bay Area. And when you consider Toronto and the surrounding municipalities, it makes up the Greater Toronto Area, the GTA, and that is over 6 million people. So these are all examples of conurbations. Finally, there's the megapolis or megacities. So this is a group of conurbations consisting of more than 10 million people each. There are 47 megacities, the three biggest being Tokyo, Shanghai, and Jakarta. So based on these numbers, I'm curious to know where our listeners live. Do you live in a small, cute, quiet hamlet, or do you live in a bustling megacity? Let us know using the hashtag SideNotePodcast.
I lived in Guelph for a long time and didn't, like, for so 4 years, but I always knew I was going to leave.
It's your own bubble when you're in university.
But right now, yeah, no, I really love Toronto so much, and I have this really interesting feeling, too, when I travel the world. I'm like, a lot of people travel and fall in love with other cities, but I actually, when I travel, I'm like, Toronto is the best city in the world. Even when I go to these amazing cities across the world, I love them, but I still find reasons as to why. Like, I don't know if it's just because it's, like, Toronto specifically is such, in my opinion, a utopia, or if it's actually just, like, a big city that I know so well that I love and I could fall in love with other cities. But when I go to, like, small towns, I do get stressed out, and I'm like, how could anyone be happy here?
You know what's sad? It's really sad for you is that, like, I get the best of both worlds. I have a family that lives in a small city, and I live in the big city. And so I get to have both, and you're not willing to do that. If you lived in a small city, you would have both.
Well, maybe my parents, hello, if you're listening, even though I think they might just buy a condo downtown. I'm like, they could go to a small city.
Then maybe you'd get access to
But those. Actually, that is interesting. A lot of my parents'
friends. I'm just a little more well-rounded.
Well, no, you've chosen to live with all of your siblings. Everyone from your family has moved to Toronto. I think that is a symbol in and of itself. But my parents, a lot of their friends have moved in retiring to, like, smaller towns. But my parents...
What's that mean?
No, but that's what I mean. I'm like, maybe it's just me, actually, because my parents aren't interested in doing that. I think they're more interested in, like, getting a condo downtown. So I'm like, not only was I raised in a city, but I was raised in a city by parents who really taught me the benefits of it. Is one thing that I would, like, say is an attestment to them. Like, a lot of people could live in Toronto and maybe not take advantage of things. But I really feel like my parents did, and I think it helped me be like, this is a great city.
Appreciate. Yeah. And I'm not disparaging cities. Like, I live in one, and I love that what it has to offer. I agree, though. There's plenty of people who live in the city because it has job opportunities, but they don't necessarily live in the city.
And the last thing I'm going to say, and we can end on this, and just as a final nail in the coffin for you, is it's where you'll get Korean food. So I don't think you're going to get your Korean food in Guelph. No,
in Guelph has a Korean restaurant now.
One, but you like to go. Which one tonight? Which one are we going to? Limgani?
Are you kidding?
Yes.
I go to literally the same one every time. I only mix it up.
But
you
love the idea of when we go to new ones. You love when we go to North York and go to new ones.
That's true. That is a nail in the coffin for me. I would have to. But, like, you could live an hour outside a major city and still go get
Korean. Or you could live in a small town of Korea and you'd be fine.
That's true. I should just do that.
Even though small towns in Korea are, like, 2 million people. Remember, we went to a small town in Korea. There was literally gigantic. 2 million people. Okay.
Yeah. Okay. What does everyone else think? I want to know what our audience, like, are you guys from small
I want to know people who've done both. People have done both.
Yeah, well, I'm right here.
No, more people have done both.
Yeah, if you've done both, you kind of have a good perspective on, like, what you think each has to offer. I'm curious if you feel the same way of me, where, like, there's something so homey and kind and loving about a small city, but, yeah, that a big city has a lot to offer in terms of entertainment and culture.
Okay, so use the hashtag Side Note Podcast to speak to us. You can follow us at Mitchell Moffat, at Whale Watch Me PLZ, and you'll hear from us next week. Yeah. Okay.
I'll see you then.
Pause.
How would you like to look 5 years younger? In a clinical study, people that had volume added with Juvederm Voluma XC in the cheeks perceived themselves as looking 5 years younger at 6 months after treatment. Look younger, feel like you. Add volume for lift and contour in the cheeks with Juvederm Voluma XC. Reverse signs of aging by adding volume to smooth laugh lines with Juvederm Volure XC. For important safety information and to find a licensed specialist, visit Juvederm.com. That's Juvederm.com. Not for people with severe allergic reactions, allergies to lidocaine, or the proteins used in Juvederm. Common side effects include injection site redness, swelling, pain, tenderness, firmness, lumps, bumps, bruising, discoloration, or itching. There's a risk of unintentional injection into a blood vessel, which can cause vision abnormalities, blindness, stroke, temporary scabs, or scarring. Talk to a licensed specialist to find out if it's right for you.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here, and it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.